Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the 5 o'clock news. Coming up on this bulletin, the MICA Action Group have called out a double standard between the remediations of private and council-owned homes that are affected by defective concrete blocks. A Donegal deputy says the government's failure to deliver affordable homes in the county is making the housing crisis work. Gardaí have launched a second murder investigation following the death of a man who was shot in a restaurant in Dublin on Christmas Eve. And Donegal County Council is being warned that safety measures urgently need to be installed at a dangerous junction outside Letterkenny before it's too late. These stories in full, plus more to come. Jordan McDade will be live with the latest in sport. That'll be around 5:15, and Chris Ashmore has all the latest farming news and views. First up in news, the MICA Action Group have called out a double standard between the remediations of private and council-owned homes that are affected by defective concrete blocks. While social homes will be demolished and rebuilt under current regulations, those which are private will be constructed under the 2007 building regulations. It emerged this week that tender documents issued by Donegal County Council effectively lay out an end-to-end scheme with the most up-to-date building standards, which MAG chairperson Lisa Hone says it's exactly what homeowners are looking for. Ms. Hone says this is a serious issue, especially when it comes to energy efficiency and environmental concerns, and the suggestion that people can apply for the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland grant doesn't hold any water.
You know, the department would argue that homeowners who apply to the DCB scheme can avail of SEAR grants, but I can tell you for a fact that there is no straightforward route there. And, you know, it is an absolute nonsense. It's quite irresponsible, quite honestly, that we've got a scheme where it's 6 months into the scheme and we don't know exactly how homeowners should even proceed to avail of those SEA grants. This could all be done away with. They've just made it way more complicated than it needs to be. That could all be done away with if you just built to new standard regs. What the DCB for private homeowners recommend is directly in contradiction to every single government policy that is being pushed forward with regard to energy and environmental concerns. So it's an absolute, it makes no sense whatsoever. And one would think that, you know, a scheme that deals in billions should be a legacy project. You should not, there should be no short-termism with regard to, as you know, something that is going to cost billions. That should be looked way, way into the future. And if you're not prepared to build to current regs, energy efficiencies, environmental concerns, it makes no sense. And on top of that, we've got a Green Party coalition advocating that we should build to, you know, nearly 20-year-old regulations. The hypocrisy is utterly off the scale.
A Donegal deputy says the government's failure to deliver affordable homes in the county is making the housing crisis worse. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin has been responding to the latest Daft.ie report, which this week revealed that house prices in Donegal continue to rise. The average cost of a second-hand home in the county last quarter of 2023 was almost €220,000. Deputy McLaughlin says the housing crisis is an emergency, which he believes government is turning a blind eye to.
Recently, the Society of Chartered Surveyors Ireland revealed that a family in Donegal would have to earn €85,000 combined to be able to afford a basic new family home in the county. Now, I asked the question at the time, how many families in Donegal earn that type of money? And house prices are clear out of control in the county. I mean, now you're looking at well over €300,000 for a basic semi-detached home. So the problem is we just don't have a plan from government to deliver affordable housing, and families will not be able to put a roof over their head.
And these prices reflect, as you said, second-hand homes, so it's not even a brand new build. And although the government has promised to build more houses, what's going to happen? These other houses, are they just going to be left lying because nobody can afford them?
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that for a long time you didn't see houses being built in Donegal. Even now at this point, it's clear that the prices that are being asked by developers, and I appreciate that when you look at costs of materials, sites, taxes, I don't think there's price gouging going on from developers. I just think that in the absence of government policy to deliver affordable housing on public lands at cost price to families, there's just no plan. The markets will dictate And the market right now is unaffordable for huge numbers of families. That's why we're seeing such large numbers of young people from Donegal emigrating to Australia, to Canada, and to other places around the world. This is a societal crisis. This is an emergency. And I have no sense at all that the governments have any plan to address it in Donegal, just to allow droves of our young people to leave. And that is a disaster for our county.
Gardaí have launched a second murder investigation following the death of a man who was shot in a restaurant in Dublin on Christmas Eve. 48-year-old Jason Hennessy was pronounced dead at the Mater Hospital today. His alleged attacker, Tristan Sherry, was stabbed to death during the incident, and three people have been arrested in connection with his death. Conor Lally, security and crime editor of the Irish Times, says Mr. Hennessy's health worsened over the last 2 days.
He's a 48-year-old man. He's a married father from Blanchardstown, Jason Hennessy. And he was in a critical condition in hospital really since the shooting. And his condition really deteriorated over the last 48 hours or so. And that raised real concerns about his survival prospects. And unfortunately, the news has broken just in the last few hours that he has actually passed away.
Donegal County Council is being warned that safety measures urgently need to be installed at a dangerous junction outside Letterkenny before it's too late. It's after two serious crashes at the Kilos Junction in recent weeks. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly previously called for crash barriers to be installed on the route. He believes a full safety assessment is needed.
I previously had a motion passed calling for road safety barriers to be erected, both at this junction and directly across from Churchill Quarries as well. But was told at the time by Donegal County Council that funding wasn't available, but that the council would seek funding for this. And, you know, we recently passed the 2024 budget, and on page 24, on it at point 2.10, you know, it states on it that the council continues to provide for funding for works within MDs relating to footpath upgrades and public lighting. It also states that this funding may also be used for other works prioritised by MDs, such as the repair of vehicle restraint systems. You know, this junction in particular at Kilogues, it is actually a lift and drop-off point as well for local school children going to and from school. When something serious happens, Michaela, it's too late, and I'm eager to prevent that, and I think the best way forward now is to put safety barriers up as soon as possible. I'll also be asking the council as well to carry out a safety assessment on the road as well, particularly on the corner at Kilogues, you know, to check the road surface and the camber of the road to make sure that it's up to the standard it should be, because it's my opinion as well that the layout of the road there as well could be adding to the problem. Whether it's a bit rough or the camber's not right or the road surface needs upgraded, you know, that I'm just not fully sure. But do you know, for the safety of school children there that's getting on the bus and off the bus, a crash barrier has to be put in place here, and that's something that I'll be calling for again now on the upcoming meeting, Michaela.
Climate action projections indicate Ireland will get warmer. It's part of Met Éireann's annual statement, as it confirmed 2023 as the warmest year on record. The report confirms that Malin Head had the highest average wind speed for the year, but also recorded the highest amount of sunshine on one day for three separate occasions last year. Donal Kavanagh has more.
2023 was 1.6 degrees warmer than the long-term average and 0.3 degrees warmer than 2022. In Donegal, the weather station at Finnair Camp matched the national year-on-year rise of 0.3 degrees, while Malin Head saw a 0.1 degree rise. The warmest day during the year was June 13th. A measurement of 28.8 degrees Celsius was recorded at Oak Park in Carlow. Sunshine levels were up at all weather stations across the state, with the highest daily sunshine total of 16 hours recorded on 3 days at Malin Head, May 30th and June 9th and 15th. Meanwhile, there was above average rainfall at all but one Irish weather station, with Finnair Camp recording 4% less rain than average. Conversely, rainfall at the Malin Head station was 19% above average. In July, both stations saw record rainfall for the month. Meanwhile, Malin Head recorded the highest mean annual wind speed in the state.
Student doctors and nurses will be subsidised to study in Northern Ireland in a new drive to get more medics into the HSC. They'll be exempt from paying the much higher fees students in the North face. UK students pay over €10,000 in tuition fees for medical universities. However, as part of the arrangement, students will pay a €3,000 fee charged here, with the state covering the rest of the tuition cost. Higher Education Minister Simon Harris says the initiative should result in more people working in our health service.
We need to use every educational resource available on the island of Ireland to help meet the skills needs of people on this island. And there's probably no more important area than the area of healthcare. And that's why I've been working really closely with the Minister for Health to make sure that students from this jurisdiction could study nursing in Northern Ireland this year, and also study speech and language therapy, physiotherapy and occupational therapy.
A pensioner has been charged in connection with a fraud at a business premises in Donemanagh, County Tyrone. The 79-year-old man is charged with the offences of fraud by false representation, fraud by abuse of position, and making or supplying articles for use in fraud. He is due to appear before Strabane Magistrates Court on January 25th. As a normal procedure, the charges will be reviewed by the Public Prosecution Service. Meanwhile, investigations are continuing into an arson attack on a house under construction in Derry. Significant damage was caused to the property that was set alight at around 2:30 this morning on the Buncrana Road. The Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service attended the scene and extinguished the blaze. They believe it was set deliberately. Police are appealing to anyone who was in the area and saw any suspicious activity, or who has information which may assist the investigation, to contact them on the non-emergency number on 101. SIPTU's divisional organiser says low-paid workers from Donegal will benefit when the national minimum wage becomes the national living wage by 2026. On this morning's 9 till noon show, Martin O'Rourke told Greg Hughes that the rate will be calculated as a percentage of the national median earnings, which are lower in Donegal than they are in the rest of the country. He said Donegal's median earnings are €130 less than the national figure, and that will be significant when the new living wage is being calculated.
That will be based on 60% median earnings. At the moment, the national median earnings are €670.90. As from 2022, we don't have the 2023 figures, but we'd expect that to be at least 4% more than that. Median earnings in Donegal are an awful lot lower, as you might imagine, the 540, again, 2022 figures. And if you look at the Dublin comparison to Donegal, Dublin wages are higher by 40%.
It's now 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break, and Jordan McDade will be back with all the latest in sport. The time is 5:15. Jordan McDade has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Don Marie. Good evening. We start with soccer. The third round of the FA Cup is underway tonight. It's an all-Premier League affair as Crystal Palace hosts Everton at Selhurst Park, and kick-off is at 8pm. Meanwhile, interim Birmingham manager says the future of assistants John O'Shea and Ashley Cole remains up in the air. Both O'Shea and Cole were part of Wayne Rooney's backroom staff, but the former England international was sacked earlier this week. They've both stayed on in their roles, with Spooner in interim charge for Saturday's FA Cup clash with Hull. And he says he's not sure what the future holds.
In terms of the future, that is, I don't know. I don't even know what my own is. All I know is I'm here for one game. All I can speak about is their support to me, and it's been excellent.
To darts, Luke Lawler has been included in the lineup for the lucrative Premier League darts after his run to the final of the PDC World Championship. The 16-year-old is joined by the man he lost to, new world champion and world number one, Luke Humphreys. There are five former world champions in the tournament, in Michael Smith, Michael van Gerwen, Peter Wright, Gerwin Price and Rob Cross also included. Nathan Aspinall completes the field for the tournament, which gets underway on the 1st of February. On to golf, Seamus Power lines up in the Century Tournament on the PGA Tour in Hawaii later. The Waterford man, who struggled with injury last season, is due to tee off shortly after 6pm Irish time. Finally, in darts, two Finn Valley AC members were among those honoured at the Irish Times Sports Ireland Sportswomen's Awards, which took place in Shelburne Hotel in Dublin recently. Eilish and Roisin Flanagan, who are identical twins, also finished with identical times at the 2022 European Cross Country Championships at La Madre Park in Italy. For their efforts, the Flanagans were named the joint winners of the Sportswomen's of the Month Award for December. And that's your evening sport.
Thanks, Jordan. Now it is Chris Ashmore up with all the latest farming news and views.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about an important public meeting on mental health and suicide risk for farmers. But first this evening, Chagask and Animal Health Ireland, in association with the Revo, are running a series of calf care on farm events throughout January, in association with the dairy co-ops. Tomorrow, as part of the series, there's an event being held at the Russell Farm in Ballylawn, Manor Cunningham, starting at 11 a.m. This dairy calf care event is designed to keep farmers informed of best practice husbandry and management practices so as to deliver best performance from calves in their care. On Monday week, January the 15th, there will be a public information meeting at the Manor Cunningham Resource Centre on the topic of farmer mental health and suicide risk. It's been organised by a group of local farmers and follows on from a presentation from Professor Louise McHugh of University College Dublin and a study that found that 23.4% of Irish farmers are considered to be at risk of suicide. A startling and worrying figure. I've been speaking with Derek Rulston, one of the organising committee of the public meeting, to find out more.
Thank you very much for taking this call. Chris, I'm on behalf of a group. We call ourselves Farming in Faith. We're a group of Christian farmers from the local community here in Donegal. Who see the need to include their faith and their everyday activities on the farm. And we've been meeting once a year for over 10 years now, talking about different issues that farmers are facing. And indeed, our first meeting was a result of a fodder crisis going back in 2012. This statistic that has been brought to the fore by a study done by Professor Louise McHugh from UCD is quite shocking, and this is what we want to focus on at our gathering now on the 15th of January, as you said, in the Community Hall, Manor Cunningham.
Now, it's a topic that we do hear quite a lot about, but perhaps the farming community have been overlooked somewhat, and the seriousness of it based on those figures. There is a lot of stress in farming. And there are contributing factors, of course, one of them being isolation. But in recent times, with all the efforts to combat climate change, there's been a lot of extra pressures placed on the farming community. And this certainly has added to a lot of stress.
Absolutely, Chris. There's a big issue on nitrates and runoff from land into water streams, and for farmers to reduce livestock numbers, and that can have a huge implication on the profitability of their land. In addition to that, Chris, I think it's like the finger's been pointed onto the farmers that they are the problem. I think they're part of the solution because we obviously need food every day. It's one of the main parts of our life, and our farmers have become very efficient in producing that. They've invested heavily, and then for them to try and think about cutting back brings extra pressure on them, both from a financial perspective and a planning perspective. But you also talked there about the isolation factor, and this, I think, is probably one of the more serious ones, where with modern mechanization, a lot of farms, there's not the same labour involved as there was going back a generation or two ago. And so farmers can find themselves being on their own farm, maybe days at a time without meeting or the need to meet anybody from outside. And just that lack of connecting with people and being able to share maybe the difficulties that they're having is one of the factors that must be bringing this to the fore.
There is plenty of help available, and in many cases, one of the most important things is to make that first step and to reach out to others if you do feel that there's a need to speak to somebody.
Absolutely, Chris. A burden shared is a burden half. And I think just to highlight or just to have the conversation and to let people know, sometimes we get into a scenario where we think we're the only ones in it, and just to realise that it's a lot more common perhaps than what's realised or talked about, and just to try and get people to seek help if they're in a very dark place and finding it difficult. Obviously, as a Christian group, we feel that our faith plays a very big part in that, through prayer and looking out for one another, that we can help each other through these periods of time when the clouds, the dark clouds, are rolling in on us.
Now, you do have a number of guest speakers. Tell us a little bit about them.
So we have two speakers on that Monday, the 15th. We have Richard McNeely. He's a farmer from Maher Mason, and Richard went on and did course in counselling and now is a qualified counsellor. With his farming background, he's a lot of experience and realises where farmers come from and the problems that they're facing. Richard would say, you know, he'll get calls from farmers and they talk, maybe they feel they have a lot of debt, and just by maybe talking through what the problem is, it might come to realise that it's not insurmountable, the debt that they have, and there are ways of dealing with it. Almost take the problem and break it down into little steps, because sometimes it just becomes such a big problem that you know, you can never get your head around it. So we also have a local farmer, Billy McMahon, who's from Remelton. Billy's going to tell his own story and how he struggled and came through the period of feeling that things were getting a bit much for him. And so we're looking forward to having those two speakers there to talk about it. And it's also the intention of Charlie McConnell-Logue, the Minister for Agriculture, who's given us a lot of, he's very supportive of this, and the night was picked so that Charlie could come with us. So it's his intention to be there as well. And we're very, you know, it's good that we see that type of support from the Minister of Agriculture, and all, you can appreciate he takes this very seriously as well.
Absolutely. And just your own background, Derek, strong farming background, but you've also done quite a bit of travel and continue to do so.
That's right, Chris. I was brought up on a family farm here in Newton Cunningham, and it was a mixed farm with tillage, sheep, cattle on it, and there was always a tradition of growing potatoes, although not continuously. But my grandfather grew seed potatoes, my father grew seed potatoes, and I grew seed potatoes for a period of time, and then felt the call of God to go and do missionary work, working with small-scale farmers in rural areas in Africa, and particularly in Kenya, and ended up starting a seed potato unit out in Kenya, which has become one of the largest producers of certified seed in sub-Saharan Africa. And that was transformative for farmers because they didn't have quality seed, and the seed that they were planting would yield maybe 3 tons per acre. And then when we got them quality seed or certified seed, their yields would go up to 9 tons to 12 tons and 15 tons at some time. So it was really transformative work, and we were very privileged to be involved with that. So that was a privilege, I have to say, Chris.
Well, that's a very positive note on which to end off. And just to remind people once again, Derek, this meeting in relation to farmers' mental health and suicide risks, and the speakers are coming to it, guest speakers. It's in Manor Cunningham Resource Centre on Monday, January the 15th. And at what time does it start?
It's 8:15, Chris, and the air code for that is F92W727.
And that was Newton Cunningham-based Derek Rulston. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thanks for that, Chris. Looking now to weather. A few clear spells this evening mixed with scattered showers, some possibly heavy. Moderate west or southwest breezes will veer northwest later in the evening. Longer clear spells mixed with scattered showers tonight, some possibly of hail. And it'll be rather cold with a chance of some frost and ice patches forming in sheltered areas overnight as the sky clears. Lows of 0 to 4 degrees with moderate west to northwest winds fresher along the coast. To conclude this evening's news, the MICA Action Group have called out double standards between the remediations of private and council-owned homes that are affected by defective concrete blocks. A Donegal deputy says the government's failure to deliver affordable homes in the county is making the housing crisis work. Gardaí have launched a second murder investigation following the death of a man who was shot in a restaurant in Dublin on Christmas Eve. And Donegal County Council is being warned that safety measures urgently need to be installed at dangerous junctions outside Letterkenny before it's too late. That's all for now until 6 o'clock. In the meantime, keep up to date on our website, highlandradio.com. Till then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 4th of January. The death has taken place of James Brogan, Old Cottage Road, Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow morning at 11, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Chrysler Day Centre, care of any family member or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Michael Carlin, 19, Garvetter Road, Castledurg, reposing at his late home until 10 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Castledurg, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Sally Gill, Backhill, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Mass in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. House private, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The funeral can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. And the death has taken place of Anne Maguire, née Lavin, formerly of Moville, Fermanagh and Roscommon. Anne's remains are reposing at her daughter Caroline's house at 17 Riverwood, Moville, where you're welcome to pay your respects today and tomorrow. Funeral Mass for Anne will take place on Saturday at 12 noon in Cradian Chapel Pubble, Tempo, County Fermanagh, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.